He, as the lawyer, desiring to justify himself, said to Jesus, "Who is my neighbor?" Jesus replied, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among robbers who stripped him and beat him and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance, a priest was going down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So likewise a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. A Samaritan, as he journeyed, came to where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. He went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he set him on his own animal and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And the next day he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper, saying, 'Take care of him, and whatever you more you spend, I will repay you when I come back.' Which of these three do you think proved to be a neighbor to the man who fell among the robbers?" He said, "The one who showed him mercy." And Jesus said to him, "You go and do likewise." You go and do likewise. Last Lord's Day evening, those of you who were here in the service, if you remember, we looked at the way that Jesus answered an insincere question, a question given to him by one of the religious leaders of the day. The question, remember, about how a woman caught in adultery should be punished. And of course, it was an insincere question that was designed to trap Jesus into giving an answer that would discredit him in the face of those who were there to listen to him and to follow him. Well, this evening we're going to look at another insincere question given by another religious leader of the day. It's a question given by someone we who refer to here as a lawyer, not in the sort of conventional sense that we think of as lawyer, but a man who studied the law of Moses, a man who was well versed in the 5 books of the Old Testament. Here's a man who had head knowledge of scripture, a head knowledge of the law, and yet his heart wasn't right with God. His heart wasn't right with the giver of the law. And well, we're going to consider this question that man gave, but the more consider, of course, the answer that Jesus gave, the answer that Jesus gave to that man in the form of a parable. As we said, it may well be one of the most, if not the most well-known of all the parables that Jesus taught. Even today in 21st century secular Britain, even the words Good Samaritan still have a kind of resonance today. There is a sort of recognition about the meaning of what it means to be a Good Samaritan. Of course, the original meaning tends to be lost in a kind of moralistic position. But we're going to look at Jesus' teaching here, what Jesus says in this parable that impacts each one of us. And as we do so, yes, give glory to God as we worship him, as we're worshiping even now. Give glory to God for the truth that we find in this parable. And seek to be those who follow Jesus, who listen to Jesus' word and seek to apply his teaching when he calls us to go and do likewise, as in the example that Jesus gave of what truly constitutes being a neighbor. And so we seek to understand, what does it mean? What does it mean in practice to be that good neighbor, that good Samaritan, to be a neighbor, and to understand what it means for those of you who are in Christ to follow the Lord Jesus in this particular way? Now, we've read this parable many times. We've heard it preached many times. As I said right at the start, I pray that you will find something that maybe you haven't fully realized before, haven't truly grasped before. Jesus' teaching is, we might say, is never there's always something to draw us the more to the Lord Jesus, something the more to direct us how we should live and glorify our God and Savior. So I pray that will be the case this evening. So let's turn to the parable. 3 things that I want to consider with you this evening. And the first we find in verses 25 to 29 where we read a searching question for Jesus, searching question for Jesus. And then verses 30 to 35, a searching answer from Jesus. And then finally, last verses 36 and 37, a searching question and command from Jesus. Very much questions and answers in relation what it means to be a neighbour in following the Lord Jesus, in following the word of God, the command of God. So first of all, a searching question for Jesus, the question or the questions that this lawyer asked. I mean, this religious man, this lawyer, this man who's so well versed in the law of God, he knows his Bible. He's an expert. That's been his study, studying biblical law. And yet, as we find out, his heart isn't directed first and foremost to serving God. His heart seems to be directed towards himself. And he comes before Jesus and he's coming to challenge Jesus. He's coming to test Jesus. He's coming to try and find a weakness in Jesus. He's trying to expose a failing in Jesus. Jesus has already, as it were, exposed the weaknesses of the teachers of the law and their understanding of the law. And now this man wants to turn the table, as it were, in Jesus, to try and test him, to try, as it were, to find him out. And when we see the question that this man asked Jesus at first, we might think, well, there's absolutely nothing wrong with the question. There's not. Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? But it's not so much the wording of the question as the motivation behind the question that really we have to take into account. Because there's all the difference in the world between coming to Jesus with sincerity of heart, coming to him genuinely seeking an answer to what really is the greatest question that anyone can ask. There's all the difference between that and coming to Jesus with that question, but with no real desire to hear Jesus' answer when all the time you formed your own answer. You see, so many people, even today, come to Jesus, yes, with real questions about faith, about the Bible, about life. But when they ask the question, they've already got the answer in their mind, in a mind devoid of faith in the one true God, and devoid of ears open to the voice of Jesus. Just like this lawyer coming to Jesus. This lawyer thought he knew the answer. He had his own question and he had his own answer. And of course, yes, he gave the answer direct from God's word. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and with all your strength and with all your mind. Deuteronomy 6:5. And then in Leviticus 19:18, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Now, straight from scripture, this is God's word. This is, if you like, this man has head knowledge of God's law. He could recite the words perfectly. But even in that answer, he wasn't prepared to apply God's word to his own life. He knew the words. He knew the correct words. But he didn't apply these words of truth, to himself. He knew that God was that loving God was a priority. His heart wasn't directed towards sincere love for God. He knew that neighbor love was absolutely integral to a person's relation to eternal life. He actually didn't know who his neighbor truly was. And he certainly, as we find out when Jesus gives the parable, he didn't know what it meant by being a neighbor. You know, there are so many like this today. You know the answers. You can repeat off by heart so much of God's word. You may well have memorized them even from a young age. You can consider yourself a good person, or a good religious person. You know the Bible. You go to church, well, even the form of church, outwardly respectable. Someone who can utter truth and yet live a lie. It's love for God and love for neighbor. Well, It's just in word only and not in heart. Because there's that lack of faith, and therefore lacking works that testify to the saving grace, saving faith. Well, this expert in the law, this lawyer, he had no genuine desire to hear Jesus speak the truth. This expert in the law, he was more concerned to justify himself, to justify his own stance, his own religious stance, when he felt he'd given the right answer and would apply according to what he considered was the right interpretation of God's word. I mean, even his second question, when he asked, "Who's my neighbor?" I mean, he fully expects that the answer has to be the way that he gives, not the way that Jesus gives. Because to him, this lawyer, his neighbor, he'd already worked it out for himself. His neighbor was a fellow Jew. His neighbor would be someone that he could relate to and apply this God's word to. Jesus' answer. Jesus gives an astounding answer, in many ways a shocking answer, an answer that challenges this lawyer to see that, well, eternal life is costly. But eternal life is revealed not by the cheap grace of religious conformity minus Jesus, but the person who shows that truly he has and she has eternal life, she exercises that costly grace of self-giving love, love for God and love for one's neighbor through faith in the Lord Jesus. So let's consider then the searching question, or should we say the searching answer that Jesus gives to this lawyer. We see the answer, of course, in the form of a parable. A parable that's commonly known as the parable of the Good Samaritan. And notice, first of all, the way that Jesus answers the lawyer. He doesn't scold the lawyer. He doesn't rebuke him. He doesn't rebuke him for his insincerity. I mean, Jesus sees right through the insincerity, but Jesus doesn't scold him for that. But Jesus wants to show this man the true application of Old Testament law, what it means, what neighbor love truly means. And so here we're seeing the grace of the Lord Jesus, the gracious love of Jesus to this insincere man. And so Jesus, we might say, in that calm demeanor, that the calm way that Jesus gives the path, we see Jesus in his grace towards this man, and seeing Jesus in the way that he teaches this particular individual. Jesus isn't frustrated at this lawyer's insincerity. He's not annoyed at him. But you see here a loving response, a response in love. We might even say that Jesus is showing love to this man who's a neighbor to Jesus. And so here in this story that Jesus tells, he's bringing the lawyer to see, well, the weakness of that lawyer's own position and the true reality of neighbor love. And so Jesus is seeking to correct this lawyer and to reveal truly that the question shouldn't be, who is my neighbor? But the question truly should be, how can I be a neighbor? You see how Jesus is turning the question round to bring out what truly matters in relation to eternal life. How can I be a neighbor? But well, before we look at even at that parable again, I think we do have to ask ourselves, what do we mean by neighbor? You see, to the lawyer, being a neighbor meant loving your own people, looking out for your own, well, your own racial grouping, your own fellow Jews, showing justice, showing mercy to those within the Jewish community, within the Jewish people, but certainly not towards those outside the community, certainly not to Samaritans, certainly not to Gentiles. So in Jewish practice, a neighbor was a Jew or could be a convert to Judaism. That was the way that the Jewish people at that time interpreted God's law. But Jesus is going to show that a neighbor was anyone whom you come into contact with, whether that person in that time, of course, even now, was a Jew, a Samaritan, or a Gentile. And of course, as we'll see, there were implications for that for the early church. When the early church went out in mission, there were implications for that in the ministry of Paul and the apostles. And of course, there are implications for ourselves in the 21st century as we seek to follow the Lord Jesus and be that neighbor that Jesus requires us to be. So what about this parable then? Let's look at the story again. Jesus sets the story in what was a very dangerous part of the land, the road between Jerusalem and Jericho. And he speaks of this man, obviously a Jewish man, this man who goes down from Jericho to Jerusalem. And just as happened in so many people that traveled on that road, this man was attacked. He was beaten up so badly by bandits on the road that he was left, but almost dead anyway. And so there's this man lying on the side of the road. He can't help himself. He's alone. He can't move. Just a pitiful sight altogether. And who comes along first? Well, a priest that's walking down the road. It may well be that this priest had been at the temple in Jerusalem and gone back to where so many priests lived at that time in Jericho. You see, this priest goes down the road. He's obviously looking out for robbers himself. And then he sees in the distance a body at the side of the road. Well, he realizes he's a priest. He's got a job to do in the temple. If he touches this body, and the body's dead, he's going to be ceremonially unclean, and he's not going to be able to do his work for a week. And so best to stay on the safe side and ignore the plight of that individual at the side of the road. He's not going to allow this man to interfere with his work. In other words, his religion, this is God. As he thinks, better to keep safe religiously than show love to this man, even love to his neighbour. So the priest's not going to act as a neighbour. He's not showing any neighbour love to that man beaten at the side of the road. And then a second man comes along, a Levite, someone again who works in the temple. This man's an official in the temple. His job is to ensure that the order of service goes correctly, make sure that everything's done in order in the temple. And if he touches this body and the body's dead, he also is going to be ceremonially unclean for 7 days. And what's going to happen to the services in the temple? So he thinks best to cross over to the other side of the road and not run the risk of being defiled by this body. And just with the priest, we have to say that this man's religion was his God. So the priest prefers to adhere to, you might say, the outer forms of religion. He's not applying his heart to the command of God to love his neighbour as himself. Just this with the Levite. He's not acting as a neighbour. He's not showing that neighbour love in showing love to that individual at the side of the road. What are we seeing so far in the parable? Well, surely this. We must never make the form, the outward form of our religion, our God. See, the priest and the Levite there, as they walked on by, as they crossed to the other side of the road, they had the appearance of godliness. It was very obvious. Well, the priest, the Levite, they had the outward form of godliness. But they denied the power of God. They didn't show any of God's love to the weak, to the poor, to the needy. I pray that we never fall into that position. We might say the ugliness of legalism, that ugliness that destroys love in the church of the Lord Jesus. I pray that we'll be those who truly follow the Lord Jesus and those who exercise that costly grace of self-giving love and following the Savior. And to do that, that we keep testing our hearts to see what truly matters in the work of the kingdom, see what truly counts in the service of our Lord and Savior. And yes, we have these out, outward forms of religion. They're important, of course they are. But they're there to point us to the Lord Jesus. We're to worship and follow the Saviour and not worship the forms of religion. So what then of true religion? What of true neighbour love? You know, we can go back to the lawyer there in the story. You know, you can just imagine, you can just hear the lawyer thinking in his mind, well, Jesus has dealt, this teacher has dealt with the priest and the Levite. He's going to mention someone else who comes along and acts as neighbour to this poor man at the side of the road. You can just hear his thinking, surely Jesus is going to now tell of a lawyer like himself who comes along and shows love to this poor man, this fellow Jew. Surely, you know, the lawyer's thinking, Jesus is going to commend me for my being a neighbor to that man and that man being a neighbor to myself. So this lawyer's thinking, well, I'm going to prove that I have eternal life. This lawyer in the story surely is going to represent me. I've loved my neighbor. I've loved my fellow Jews. I'm worthy of the eternal life. It's not what Jesus says. And Jesus astounds the lawyer with this third person who comes along, and this third person who isn't a fellow Jew or a Samaritan. Just picture the lawyer. We said last week, use your imagination here. Just picture this lawyer as he hears Jesus tell of a Samaritan. One of the despised people to the north of the country, those Samaritans, these heretics, these individuals whom the Jews despised for their being racially different, for having different views of scripture and differences in worship. This individual, whom certainly the lawyer wouldn't have called a neighbor, he certainly would never have referred to that Samaritan in the story that Jesus gives as someone to show neighbor love to or give neighbor love from. And so Jesus instantly shatters the lawyer's self-justification. He shatters the lawyer's beliefs. It's the Samaritan who doesn't cross over to the other side of the road. It's the Samaritan who comes near that poor man on the road and tends that man's wounds. It's the Samaritan who uses his own medicinal oil, his own wine, and no doubt that oil and wine that were very precious and valuable to him. It's the lawyer who uses these means to heal that man's wounds. It's the Samaritan who gets that man onto his donkey and takes that man to the nearest inn and promises to look after that man through giving the particular financial cost to the innkeeper. It's the Samaritan who makes sure that man's safe and well. It's the Samaritan who shows neighbor love. It's the Samaritan who shows that the cost of discipleship is in word and action, self-giving love, irrespective of who the neighbour in need is. So what about our application? I mean, remember the whole point of this parable. The whole point of it is to examine the question, who's a neighbour? Who's a neighbour in the context of eternal life? Who's my neighbour? Well, of course, the answer has to be surely every man. Even the person who might even consider my enemy. In fact, we might even say that the question that the lawyer gave, that question really shouldn't be asked of any of us. Because as soon as you ask, who's my neighbour, you're actually discriminating. But rather than asking, is this person or that person, another person my neighbour, just show neighbour love irrespective of who that person is. Show the love of the Lord Jesus. Surely, we're all neighbours one to another. Someone wrote this. He said, you should not ask, who is my neighbour? You should act. And that really leads us to the searching question and command that Jesus gives in verse 36 and 37. We said earlier that Jesus corrects the lawyer. Because the question in our hearts shouldn't be, who is my neighbour? How can I be a neighbour? You see that in the searching question that Jesus gives this lawyer. Which of these three do you think proved to be a neighbor to the man who fell among the robbers? See how Jesus turns that question onto the lawyer to get the lawyer to see what neighbor love truly means for anyone who's concerned about eternal life. And there's only one answer to Jesus' searching question. Which of these three do you think proved to be a neighbor to the man who fell among the robbers? There's only one answer in this context of the story. The answer, of course, is the Samaritan. And the lawyer realizes this. Can't even bring himself to say the word Samaritan, but at least he realizes that it was the Samaritan who showed mercy. It's the Samaritan who revealed neighbor love, who proved to be that neighbor. You see how Jesus turns the question onto the lawyer. The lawyer who'd asked, who is my neighbor? But Jesus is putting the spotlight on the neighbor, saying who and what is a neighbor. What was it about the Samaritan that showed that he was a true neighbor and true neighborliness? What was it about the Samaritan that showed that he truly was fulfilling the law of God? Because he showed self-giving love. He showed compassion to someone who, yes, for the Samaritan would be regarded as an enemy, certainly to the Samaritan's people. And yet for that Samaritan, there could be no limits on his love in showing mercy. Of course, that truth would be seen ultimately in the Lord Jesus. And that truth, as we said, expressed in the work of the early church, and that truth that we see has far-reaching implications for ourselves in the 21st century. You see, for Jesus, a neighbor was anyone with whom you'd come into contact, whether it's a Jew, a Samaritan, or a Gentile. This is the same Jesus who said, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you. And Jesus is saying, if you're to follow him, then there's to be no limits on your love for others, whoever these others are. You can't show exclusive love to one and not to another, whoever they are. So you're to be that neighbor who rejects the exclusive nature of love for one and not for another. And it's that teaching that inspired the missionaries of the early church to preach the gospel to Jew and Gentile. Paul was what Paul was doing. He was planting churches in largely non-Jewish areas, Gentile areas. That's what Paul expressed when Paul spoke about the freedom that Christians have and freedom that Christians have been given in Christ. That freedom not to do as they please, not to exploit neighbors, not to show lack of love to neighbor, but to show love to their neighbor, to Jew and to Gentile. You read, for example, in Galatians 5, verse 14, Paul emphasizing that when he says the whole law is fulfilled in one word, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Or think of the Apostle James when he emphasized neighbor love in his letter in chapter 2, the Epistle of James chapter 2. James warned against discrimination. James warned against showing favoritism to the rich and neglecting the needs of the poor. And so each one of us has a responsibility in fulfilling the demands of the law with regard to neighbor love and listening to the words of Jesus and heeding them and putting them into practice. Just as Jesus said to the lawyer, you go and do likewise. You go and do likewise. You show mercy befitting a follower of the Lord Jesus. Show mercy in keeping with the Savior who's shown mercy to you. You know, when you were in life's roadside, when I was in life's roadside, when you were unable to heal yourself because of the assaults of sin and Satan, when you needed the oil of Christ's healing grace, when you needed to be restored through the mercy of Christ, he showed you love. He showed you that he truly loves you with that infinite love, the self-giving love for you. He showed that ultimately on the cross when he gave his life for you. And it's for you and for me to show mercy to the lost, to show mercy to the suffering. show mercy to those who are in need. Even in this time of, well, still continued lockdown, that even use the opportunity that this time gives to show that mercy, the mercy of Christ to the lost, to the lonely, to the fearful, to those who are scarred, to the vulnerable. We pray that, and yes, pray even, come before God, even in the quiet of your prayer life, even as you listen again to what we've been considering, you come before God, come to that throne of grace and pray that God will present before you, even in your mind, even in practice, bring before you someone to whom you can truly and fully show that neighbor love, someone who may well be torn and bruised and wounded and suffering through various circumstances in life. Pray that God will present to you a person that you can show the love of the Lord Jesus to, in showing that the true neighbor, what true neighbor love is. And of course, that may well mean that we go out of our comfort zone. It may well mean that we apply the oil and wine of Christ's mercy to place in the wounds of a neighbor in need. Will you be that neighbor? That neighbor that reveals the face of the Lord Jesus to someone else, irrespective of who that someone else is. And so we truly do seek to live as the Lord Jesus directs you, to be like that good Samaritan, go and do likewise, that you won't pass by and cross to the other side, as it were, and you see someone in need, but you'll show your faith in practice. You'll show your faith to be true faith, saving faith, and show it in your love for God and your neighbour as yourself, as you be that good neighbour, as you do so through love that won't discriminate, but love that will reveal saving grace in your life as you seek to love one another. Amen. Let us. Our Lord, our God, our Heavenly Father, as again we've considered the parable that Jesus taught, that parable that we're commanded to respond to and to go and do likewise, to show mercy to the lost, to the suffering, to show truly what a neighbor means in practice. We pray, Lord, that our hearts truly will know the love that we are to exercise, that love that we are to show to others, particularly those who are in need. We pray then, Lord, that you truly will open before us those who are suffering at this time, those who are on life's roadside. We pray, Lord, that you will open to us so that we might apply your word and seek to honor you and seek to glorify you even in the work that you give us to do. So hear us, Lord, as we commit these things before you. Strengthen us, we pray. Strengthen our resolve to serve you. Go before us, we ask. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to sing now in Psalm 25, the first version of Psalm 25, in verses 12 to 15. What man is he that fears the Lord and doth him serve? Him shall he teach the way that he shall choose and still observe. His soul shall dwell at ease, and his posterity shall flourish still, and of the earth inheritors that be. Psalm 25, 12 to 15, to God's praise.
What man is he
Close in prayer. Now may grace, mercy, and peace from God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit rest upon and remain with you, both now and forevermore. Amen.